Not much to say about this one. You guys see the title. You guys have heard the other episode with these two men. An incredible 90 minutes of entertainment coming your way. The Paulson twins are truly two of a kind and two of the best all-around dudes I think that we've ever met on this show. Extremely excited for you guys to hear this episode. Them coming on is once again vaulted into my personal favorites. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Boys and girls, it's the Friendship Podcast, and today we are here for absolute friendship with two of the greatest, well, one currently, but soon to be two of the greatest human beings to ever walk this earth. It's been about 350 episodes since we got to talk to these guys last, and man, he said, let her rip, or what'd you say?
Hammer down.
Hammer down. He said, hammer down. So here we are. Let's put the hammer down. Lando, welcome back, buddy. We're waiting on Levi. Whenever he shows up is good. It's not Iowa football time like we discussed earlier, but once you complete the program, you no longer have to be early. So welcome, dude. We freaking love you. And yeah, man, I'm just so excited to have a conversation with y'all.
Guys, this is a treat. I get so cranked up, like talking to former guys just because I don't see them anymore, you know? And
it's the worst part about having graduated. The football, 100%. I mean, that stinks, but whatever. It's the people. It's like, man, miss the coaches, miss y'all. It's
not right. That's what I tell everybody. It's like, do you miss it? And I'm like, not really, but I miss the guys. It's like, as soon as you step on campus, you've got 100 guys that you spend way too much time with.
Which is awesome. A lot of time. It's a lot of time.
But I was going to – I'll tell this story on – why Levi's late. So Levi was in Southern California all week for, we both work for the same company. We had a company meeting on Tuesday, which is kind of a big quarterly meeting to talk about, you know, the year ahead and kind of where we are at as a business. And he's on a sales team. So he was in Southern California with his sales team and kind of going through the year and strategy and tactics to attack the year ahead. And he got back on really late Thursday night. He flew out of Cedar Rapids, flew into Des Moines, and got back really, really late, midnight or 1 o'clock on Thursday/Friday morning. And Friday after we were done working, we were supposed to go to Northeast Iowa to turkey hunt. We've had it on the calendar for half a year, if not more than that. And I'm getting close to finishing up my day and I call him and didn't answer. And I go over to his house. Sorry, should preface. He's my neighbor. He lives like two houses down.
He's my twin and my
nothing less expect from the Paulson Bros.
He lives, I can see his house from where I'm sitting right now. So I went over to his house and he's standing there and he's got workout clothes on and he's like, I'm going for a run. I said, are we going turkey hunting today or not? He's like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go. I said, you don't know if you're going to go. Like I would already been gone by now. I would have left. And, he's like, I got to fly out to Denver on Sunday. He's like, it's just going to be a quick turnaround. I don't know if I'm going to do it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it and whatnot. I said, Levi, you're going turkey hunting. Like our dad is coming hunting with us. You're going. And I said, I've got my truck loaded up. You need me to load in your stuff. He's like, no, I'm driving separate. And I'm like, okay. Like why? And he's like, oh, I got to go to Denver on Sunday. And so he goes on his run and he comes back and he hops in my truck and I'm like, I thought you were driving separate. He's like, I am. He's like, my truck is still at the airport in Cedar Rapids. So I'm like, my blood pressure is just rising. I'm like, dude, this is unbelievable. And I'm like, seriously, we don't need to, like, I will bring you back and we'll be totally fine. We'll make it in time. He's like, I don't have my clothes. I need to wash my clothes before I go to Denver on Sunday. And anyways, we get turkey hunting. I drop him off at the airport. We both drive vehicles up to Northeast Iowa. And he's like, I'm really hoping I shoot a turkey on Saturday morning early so I can get back and I can get home. And so it freaking happens. He shoots a turkey at 6:25 in the morning. It's like half an hour. And it's just like, he's relieved, right? There's no pressure on him. He's like, gosh, that makes me feel good. He drove back down here to Kelowna, 2-hour drive, a little over 2 hours, and gets his clothes washed, whatever. And he messages me. He says, bro, I messed up. He said, my work laptop's in your truck.
Oh, no.
We can't see you.
Yeah, Levi, I think you can hear and see us, but we just got like a cell phone.
No, we got no camera on you, buddy.
Yeah, and it says your connection is – oh, there you are. Now it says your connection's great. I don't know what you just did, but – and now you're back to shit. I have no idea.
How does this story end though? The laptop's 2 hours away.
Yeah.
I'm on the edge of my seat, man. This is funny.
And I'm still hunting. I'm hunting, me and my dad both have tags to fill, and we get up at 4 a.m. and we go turkey hunting. We're in Northeast Iowa, like the boonies, like no service at all.
Up in Decatur country or what?
It's like I had to have no reason to look at my phone or anything. And I didn't, I mean, I was thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, I probably leave here around 1 to get to Cedar Rapids by 2. And Levi had called me in. I had a missed call and it was 45 minutes ago. And I was just thinking to myself, like, I still got time. Like, I'll be good. I'll run his laptop down there. This fucking guy drives all the way back up to Northeast Iowa, 2 hours, to get his laptop. And, like, I would have made it in time, but he was rushing to make the airport and to make his flight. And he made it to the airport, made it to Denver. And I just called him a little bit ago. He's like, I just don't like being rushed. I'm like, bro, you're not being rushed. Like, quit putting pressure on yourself. Like, this isn't Iowa football anymore. Like, you're good. He's like, I know. He's like, I might not have good connection. I might have this. I might not have that. And so that's why Levi's a blank screen right now.
So I have good – and I made it. I have good connection. But this Marriott freaking Wi-Fi is shite. Every time I turn my camera on, that's when my connection tanks.
Don't worry about the camera. You're great when you turn it off. We don't need to see you.
I know we don't. I'm the better looking twin. Everybody knows. So you're doing the ugly one.
Dude, I swear to God, I think Kevin and Drake would echo the same thing. I could listen to you guys just tell stories like that for the next 10 hours. And I'd sit here.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here for an hour of stories.
What was your thought when you realized you left the laptop? Like, I know me, like when I get in that situation, I'm in the car and I'm screaming profanities at the top of my
lungs. Kevin sees red.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was doing some deep nasal breathing and screaming the F-bomb a lot because I was not happy.
I went straight into my Wim Hof.
That's what I did.
Fucking you two legends. What, you guys work for a company called Neat. I want to hear about Neat. What the fuck is that?
Go ahead, bro.
So Neat is a Norwegian manufacturer of video conferencing, pretty much sound bars. And the story goes back to Zoom, right? Zoom story is kind of a long one, but long story short.
There we go.
That was a long story, really short.
He's made the shortest you could make a long story. I don't know where he went. It's funny because they work for this company that does on the website I looked on it, Landon. It says like video conferencing solutions.
And I'm like, shit.
Hardware side of things, not the software, right?
Oh, okay. I was like, damn, should we be using like some Neat to record this bitch or what? Like, you know?
Well, I just looked at the email you sent. I looked at this. I just joined the Zoom meeting on my Neat because we can't join into these meetings. At least I don't think so. Levi knows more. But this is something that we sell. This is a 65-inch touchscreen display. But it's got the camera and microphones built into it, and the Zoom app basically runs on this hardware.
So what you're saying is this needs to be a Neat podcast.
Yeah.
Can you talk to the folks in Norway and get them to sponsor the Washington podcast?
Talk to your ad spend dollars and.
But yeah, we've just got.
Holy shit! Look at you.
We're gonna need four of those, and we'll mount them on our walls.
And we can just stand in front of them.
That'd be
dope. It was really neat when I was coaching football at Liberty, and we could draw X's and O's on here.
Oh shit!
Oh dude.
It was really
now show me the 23B, you know. I want to see Drake fill a for those who aren't on the YouTube edition, and that's your loss, really. Landon wrote CTE on the screen, which is 100% accurate. That is exactly how you run the B play.
So Zoom and Microsoft Teams run natively on our devices. So our devices have the computer built into them.
Nice.
And basically when you launch, the thing that makes our company stand apart is that our solutions are very easy to deploy, and they're video conferencing devices used for the conference room space. Right. So in the past you had to hook up external microphone, external speakers, right? Make sure the room acoustics were good. Whereas our appliances are all in one, and it basically eliminates the need to have an AV integrator or like a tech guy at a high school. Like this is like, these devices are like the out of box experience of a phone, right? It's like, power on, choose your language, plug in your Wi-Fi, choose your mounting options, and it walks you through it until you plug in your Zoom credentials, and then you basically have the Zoom app on your device.
I'm sorry.
And you can link it to Google Calendar or Outlook Calendar. So like you can see back here, this is my schedule for today, just a recurring meeting on there, but all my meetings would show up if I had multiple meetings in a day.
Damn.
I've been in a few of those meetings where you got somebody calling in and somebody's like trying to Zoom in, like work a Zoom call remote, and everyone else is in person, and it's just always a nightmare. So I would like for you to sell this to all the places in Eastern Iowa.
We have a couple of customers in Southeast Iowa.
In Norway, we want to be customers, aka partners.
So yeah, to tell Norway we want like a 10 grand. We'll just talk about Neat every podcast for the next 2 years if they write a big enough check. We will sell out to anybody. Seriously.
So yeah, you're not messing with me.
What?
This is the Friendship Podcast.
This is the Friendship Podcast. Yeah.
I mean,
this cracks me up.
I mean, well, what else would it be, Lando?
Well, I thought it was the Walk-Ons Podcast.
I mean,
it is, but you know,
they're effectively the same thing.
Yeah.
No,
we've gone down a slightly different path from what we started out as.
What did we start out as? I'm not even sure.
Literally, all we did at first was talk about Iowa football. We literally talked about nothing other than Iowa football for the first however many episodes.
And after a while, just made us want to kill ourselves.
Gosh, so can I still shout out the Washington County pork producers?
Oh, please.
That's our main sponsor.
Landon, I would love to talk about the Washington County pork producers. Please tell me about them.
Kelowna, Iowa. I mean, Washington County. Washington Dude. County pork producers. Yeah, Levi and I have cut up some hogs for some people who
wearing these things,
the pork producers. Yeah.
Now I see you guys. You guys are like really into the cooking scene. Like, you know, you're not so much farm to table. You are game to table.
Who's talk one of about your it? Biggest Instagram fans?
What's Drake. Some of the best things you guys have cooked up in the last couple months?
Bro, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on.
What's the best thing you cooked up?
Probably a black bear shank.
Acapulco bear style. Shank.
I mean, how many people have that answer?
Big shout out to the Paulson Bros for sending me a little, what are those called? Mason jar full of bear diesel.
Yeah, we both, yeah, that's a side story. We both drew bear tags again this year, so hopefully we can harvest one and take as much as we can. But for me on the meal question, gosh, that's super hard. All of it is so, it's so addicting. It's like,
give me your go-to. Like you need a comfort meal and you're like, I'm going to cook up.
It's Sunday afternoon on a beautiful summer day. What are the boys cooking up?
Well, it's hard. I love venison. Like I love deer, but I truly love it all. Like I am a burger guy. Like I just,
yeah.
If I could have one meal for the rest of my life, it would be burgers. Any burger I could, just cause I can eat them and not get tired of them.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I got to touch on my bear shank.
Oh, hammer that.
So when you cook up, like if you go to a restaurant, you can like spend so much money on a dish called ossobuco, and it is the shank of any sort of animal.
Yeah.
And the thing about ossobuco that makes it like, you have to understand it to value it, is when you're butchering an animal, like the most tendons and cartilage and sinew is located in the calf, which typically makes it not a very like pleasing thing to meat. It typically goes into the grinder and somebody makes burger out of it. So with the bear shanks, if you keep them whole, the only way to like make them edible is to cook them for 8 to 10 hours. So my bear shank that I made, typically make tacos, or you could put them over like a bed of rice and make Korean bowls, but we like the Korean style. So you put like a bit of soy sauce, a bit of rice vinegar,
garlic,
some garlic, put in some peppers, and then 8 hours later, that just simmers in the pot at 225 all day, like a Dutch oven or something in the oven. Oh my God, guys, you have no idea.
It's crazy. Like, so the shank on a bear is forearm, right? Or basically the calf muscle. And they're like, a lot of people cut them cross style. Like in the South, when they make beans and rice, like they'll just take the cross cut shank of a beef and or a pork, and they'll put them in a pot and just let them simmer for a really long time until they fall apart. And that's like how they make beans and rice. But like, we just take the whole radius and ulna, right, and keep it whole and throw the whole thing in a crock pot, and then by the time you cook it all day, add a little sriracha to it, oh my, it's melting your mouth. And we do a whole bunch of different ways, right? We do the tacos with like a kimchi style slaw, or we do we get the naan breads from Aldi.
And
we make Korean barbecue pizzas with them and throw them on the Traeger, or throw them on the charcoal, and it's phenomenal.
You guys,
and savory umami, I love it.
You guys are fucking national treasures. You know that?
For real. Dude,
we just had Bo on the podcast a week ago, and we were talking about him eating buffalo and elk, and I think we just got to pivot to like this, make this like a hunting game and cooking game podcast.
Yeah.
Well, it's super rewarding.
You guys know so much about it.
You never have to buy meat, dude.
Nope.
See, Levi, you're making this bear shank. How much bear meat you got laying around?
Well, we're almost about out. We're all out of our fat, and but the good thing is Landon and I drew bear tags this year again, lucky enough. So we're going bear hunting this fall.
Where at you guys going?
That's in northern Wisconsin.
Secret.
Nice.
Secret spot. There's
how many pounds of meat did you get off your bear?
So my bear was 360 pounds dressed out. That means hanging right when I killed it. So I had the guts in it and we didn't harvest. It probably yielded. Would you say it was like a 60% yield, Andon? So like 60% of
200 pounds.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit less. Yeah, probably less. Closer to 50, I'd say.
150.
Yeah. 150 pounds, but 50% yield on that bear.
Did they give you like the organs, like the heart and the liver and all that?
Are you the liver king?
Yeah, we typically do keep the we really like the two that we've really played around with the most are heart and tongue, just because they're relatively easy to get to.
Beef tongue is good, dude. I don't know about bear tongue, but beef tongue is good.
Oh, tongue is phenomenal. It's very, very underrated.
Very underrated. I'm not sure it's even rated. By the look on these other two's face,
I've had beef tongue before.
You go to a Mexican restaurant and you get street tacos and you order lengua tacos. That's tongue, right? Tongue. And it's super nice. Like it's really mild. Except for the texture. It's got a different tenderness, it's so weird. I think as Levi and I have gotten older, we've just started to really appreciate different meats, right? And the ability to prepare them, because you can mess them up. And game is so lean, it's very easy to mess up. And we have friends over all the time and we just never tell them what it is, because they would never know the difference between what we cook and beef or what we cook and chicken.
Dude, if you're making food, I'm not asking questions.
Right.
Is bear a red meat? Is that what?
Yeah, it's a pretty mild red meat.
Yeah, the one thing you gotta be a little bit cautious of, and why we're not liver king with the bear is they carry, they're carnivores, right? They're top predators, so they feast on anything from fresh flesh to rotten flesh to corn to soybeans. Like they're omnivores, so they eat everything. But they carry a disease called trichinosis, which
you got to cook the trichinosis out of it. That'll attack your muscles.
Yeah, that'll mess a guy up.
Trichinosis.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
Now, Hy-Vee actually recently started selling beef heart. Yeah, I picked one up because I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I would love for you guys to tell me what I should do with this thing.
Oh, my gosh. It's funny you say that, Kev, because I was talking to one of me and Levi's best friends from back home, and he said his father-in-law got him two beef hearts. He's like, I don't know what to do with them. And heart is, I'll send you a link to a video on how to, is it, do you know if it's cut, is it cut up or is it the whole heart?
It's a whole heart, man.
It's a whole heart. There's no cutting has been done. I'll send you a video on how to section the heart out into three pieces so it makes it look like it's a sirloin steak.
All right. And then you just cook it like a steak afterwards?
Cook it like a steak. Hot, really hot temperature, sear on both sides, keep it medium rare.
Keep it medium rare.
Do not overcook it, because you'll have a very unpleasant experience.
Yeah, because there's like hardly any fat in it, right?
Yeah.
So you're just going to be eating like a piece of char if you overcook it.
But season it just like you would a steak.
Fuck yeah.
It's super nice.
And Kev, the yeah, when you cut that bear, there is some fat on it, but it's this like waxy fat that you don't want to cook. It's pretty unpleasant. So you'll cut the waxy fat off of it and get it into those three pieces. And oh my God, it's like the second most tender cut of meat on an animal.
Really? Part. More so than more so than like the filet or a tenderloin?
Yeah. Probably about right on par with a tenderloin.
Wow. Thing,
so what's the most tender?
Probably the tenderloin.
Yeah.
The tenderloin, the inner loin, it sits in like on a human, like it would sit on your the back lining of your the anterior part of your spine. Right? The posterior side part of your spine would be like your lats running all the way down towards your butt. But like the anterior part of your spine would be your tenderloins, and they're just that's where the filet mignon comes from on a beef, and they cut it cross sectionally, so it makes it even more tender. Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting. Like as we started to as we've cooked game, like we've just started to understand that Americans are so different than most populations around the world. It's like Americans associate value with tenderness and mildness, right? Whereas people from across the world, like they associate value with texture, right? And flavor, right? And Americans want the mildest stuff ever. Like give me a filet mignon that's super mild and barely tastes like anything. Whereas Europeans are like liver and onions, let's go all day long. You know, it's super interesting to understand. And so as we, it hasn't been overnight that we've started to really like gravitate towards it, but it's something that we're consciously, I mean, we're always conscious of it and we always want to try something new and we never want to say like, I would never eat that. Right. Because it's like, I would, right. If it's prepared, right. You eat with your eyes first. If it looks like Buffalo Wild Wings, you're probably going to eat it.
I want to eat a bull's nut so bad.
Oh my gosh, bro.
Cook me up some Rocky Mountain oysters.
Landon's
I need that. No, Levi, dude, no, come on. Send a guy some oysters.
Landon's reaction to that tells me that Landon's about to say, dude, you know what? I just got two bull's nuts 3 days ago.
No, I was just talking about this with when we were turkey hunting with my dad's guy my dad works with, one of his good friends. And he said he went to a nut fry and then immediately
hold on a second. Whoa. Hold on a second, buddy.
A nut fry at a toad ceremony. My goodness.
Yeah, a nut fry.
That sounds like a spiritual ritual.
It's a thing. It's a thing. We have a turkey testicle festival here in where show up at noon, they fry the turkey testicles and they cook and it's until supplies last.
Yeah.
Free will donation.
I need to get me there.
Absolute yep. Gas. But where I'm going with this, these testicles is me and my dad and Levi went to Nebraska. Gosh, that had to be 2021 maybe. And we went to Western Nebraska and we were mule deer hunting and we went to this restaurant and we had an appetizer called what was it called? We
fried pickles, and it was their wiener.
No, it was called the sack lunch. and it was served with cocktail sauce and ranch. And I'm telling you, it was so good. We went back the next day just for the appetizer. Like bull it was phenomenal.
Yeah, bull nuts. It was really, really good.
They put cocktail sauce and ranch for blood and cum.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You guys, listening to you talk about this, this is like, I mean, like, it sounds like outside of your career, this is your thing. Like, this is your thing. Why don't you have a fucking restaurant yet? That's the
restaurants
question.
Are hard to maintain. They need to get a cooking show first. We need to pitch that to somebody.
Why are these guys
here to get the Paulson twins on a cooking show?
Here's the real question.
Need to see that
you guys see Maddie Matheson. We should do something like that, bro.
If you guys have never seen Maddie Matheson,
no, nope.
Pretty sure I've heard of that guy
on YouTube. Amazing. You guys would. He does a lot of cooking stuff, and we've learned a lot of stuff from him. Like I cook venison the way that he cooks his ribeyes, right? And it's a super just easy way to do it, but I've never thought about it like that. I'm like, the only thing I I've ever known is cook it on a gas grill, right?
And not charcoal.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Maddie Matheson's show though is fucking hilarious. Guys.
I'm not.
You just gotta.
Y'all ever watch Guga?
Huh.
No. Guga Foods on YouTube. Love him, dude. He's like this Puerto Rican dude or Cuban guy or something. Lives down in Miami. He's got like 3 million subscribers on YouTube or something silly. Makes unreal steak dishes. Look him up.
I'm telling you right now that with your guys's like being twins, your
being
story,
firefighters,
your knowledge, boys, y'all could fucking quit your jobs right now and be massive, like cooking influencers on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. I swear to God, like you could cook a different dish every week, make a
we
sick
need
ass-
to get Olsen Bros on television, man.
Oh my God.
You know what? I think, I mean, Landon and I are really connected to food just because we're fat. But like, you know, more so, I think the reason we really enjoy it is because we like to understand where our food comes from. And like, I really see a problem in the world where not enough people know exactly where that meat came from, right? Mm-hmm. There's this like disconnect. And I think there's a lot of bigger world problems associated with the global food supply. I mean, and don't get me wrong, you have to feed people, but I think there's some sustainability stuff that could be tied into it and looked into.
Yeah. I feel like if you go out there and you guys shoot a deer, cook it up yourselves, it's not going to be something that you guys are going to let go to waste, you know?
Right.
I think there's a lot of people out there that, you know, I bought this, it went bad and just toss it, you know? Like they have no connection to the food like the way like a hunter would.
Amen.
Yeah. We heard a quote the other day that said, this guy says, I have no problem with vegans or vegetarians. Like you should be a vegan or a vegetarian if you've never had to shoot an animal. Like if you never had to shoot an animal and like go through the process of killing and harvesting, like it really makes you appreciate the food, right? And where it comes from. Like Levi and I have harvested a couple beef for people and it's like these beef just go down or break an ankle, you know, and it's like they're laying there in misery. Right. And it's like up to Levi and I to dispatch the animal as fast as we can. Right. And honor it and to cut it up and to use every possible piece of that 1300 pound animal.
Are you guys actually doing the butchering now too?
We just do it as a hobby. And
see, they have to be on television, boy.
Y'all are fucking Cam Haines times.
If you would just document, you know, the hunt to the butcher, to the 50 different meals you get out of that animal, that'd be an awesome season of a show.
Dude, the hunter, the butcher, and the chef? Are you shitting me? You guys are absolute anomalies.
Like the season finale is like you invite like 20 of your friends and your favorite podcast host to like celebrate the hunt and we're feeding on the animal that I just killed.
Dude, that's I'm pretty sure they call this Yellowstone.
They've done this.
I love that. Guy.
You guys really are, you guys, it's your life. So you guys don't understand. I mean, we've been sitting here talking for 32 minutes and all we've talked about is this, and I'm thoroughly entertained. And I know the listeners are going to love this shit. And like, you two guys on a camera being electric, showing passion about animals and like cooking up foods and like god damn, I mean just like sell the show right now. You said you're passionate about the food not only because you're fat, but the problem is you guys aren't fat anymore.
We really want to be though. I think deep down there's still a little bit of fatness.
Well, you boys are like super into like the long distance running now, didn't you?
Yeah, I want to get into this
or something.
They both did. They both ran a half, guys? I think.
Yeah, I ran a half track, a half Ironman.
So, yeah, tell us a story about going from 300-pound Big Ten lineman to dropping, I don't know how much you guys dropped, and running half.
Because when you guys were on for the OG Friendship Pod Walk-On Army here, for those who haven't heard the episode, my God, it is consensus the most top rated show. By the way, I forgot to tell you guys this. When we ask our listeners, fans, they will write into us after hearing the episodes, people that I know, me personally, Kevin Drake personally. The consensus most picked best episode ever of our show is episode 88 with the Paulson twins.
Do you believe that
is not
BS?
Number two, no. Top two, not two.
That is not bullshit. That is 100%. You guys are consensus. I mean, there's other people who have favorite episodes, but the most commonly said favorite episode of our show is 88 with the Paulson twins. So go back and listen to that. But for those who are watching it, I just said they're not fat anymore. These two guys are different people. And that was obviously not even a year out from you guys being done in Iowa City playing for the Hawks. But, you know, transformation-wise, personal health-wise, you guys have gone on a journey over the past, what, I guess it would be maybe 3.5 years, 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that. And what was the motivation? Where, do you guys think that if you hadn't had to have been massive Big Ten linemen, that you would now be smaller guys into running and all this stuff? Because you guys were big guys coming out of high school. Like, to tell me about this journey.
I'll start. San Diego, Holiday Bowl. Brian Wolf approaches me, says, "Levi, congrats on a great career." He said, "You're probably going to need a knee replacement, but I won't do it until you're at least 40 years old."
This is Dr. Wolf.
Dr. Wolf, correct. I said, "Okay." He said, "The best thing that you can do is lose weight. Every pound of body weight that you lose is going to feel like 4 pounds of pressure that is, you know, lifted off of that joint." I'm like, okay. And so graduate, hang up the cleats. I go into the remote workforce. Landon starts working for Moxie Solar. And I start pounding the pavement, working out. And I was remote, right? So I didn't have, I mean, I pretty much launched my career into the pandemic. I worked from home. I didn't never went out. I didn't have temptations like people bringing donuts and pizza and going out to eat and drink beer. You know, I was in my home office, so I could eat tuna and vegetables and a protein shake every day. Right?
Let's go.
Also did a little bit of intermittent fasting. So intermittent fasting, I only ate for about 6 to maybe 7, 7.5 hours of the day. The other day, hours of the day, I did not eat anything. I did have coffee and I did have water. So anyways, I start running and, I vividly remember, living on West Benton.
Hold on a second. Real quick, interject into this story. And I don't think the boys here will disagree. Landon and Levi, not big fans of running. throughout their time in the jersey. And I think that probably puts it lightly. And I can say that because I was in the same fucking club.
You were king at change of direction, though. They wrote on my lift card, "Struggles to run."
No, they didn't.
No, man.
Struggles to run.
You'll never forget that. You'll never forget it.
COD. I was like,
struggles to.
I tried my best to get better, and
hey, and that's something that the boys here and every single teammate that you guys had knows 100%. Y'all were effort guys. You never.
The funny thing is, you guys were literally known for your grit. Because of conditioning, that like not this is no poking fun at anything. Like coaches would say, the Paulson show up and get every single rep. You have no excuse to ever not. You know what I'm saying? Like these gritty motherfuckers hate running, and they make every rep. Not a single word said. Like you guys were examples.
No, no shit.
Positive examples.
And
I love it.
And we Brian always pokes fun and uses us as an example, and it's all good. I mean, it is what it is. I'm the same way. It's like if I can make a time, anybody can make a time. Right, I promise you. If I can make it, and I just remember like trying to get every single little detail, like focusing on my breathing, focusing on my recovery, focusing on my times or where I was hitting the line, just so I could make the times.
I've been there.
Cool. I've been there. That anxiety is something that people need to experience.
Nope, they don't. They don't.
So did you have more anxiety before, say, Stations in the 60s or Game Simulators or maybe Prowlers?
All the above.
Yeah, I would say Change of Direction was my bear.
Yeah.
You guys, so, and chin to hip, right? Chin to hip.
Point your toes forward, Paulson.
Hey, you guys, how would you guys describe yourselves physically, athletically, coming out of high school?
Oh.
We were really strong.
Big and strong.
Yeah, we did not do anything. No running.
We just didn't have any references as to what we should have been working on.
I'm telling you, and it's again like Drake said, there's no poking fun here. It's to actually highlight how much fucking work you guys did. your guys' running form. I remember watching like your guys' freshman group run, and I just remember thinking like that looks like it fucking hurts. And you guys, by the end of your time, and we left before you guys left, obviously, so you guys would have made even more improvement. Like, boys, you guys worked your balls off. That was it was impressive.
It's just one of those things. It's like I feel like we owed it to our teammates to not make any excuses, right? And it's like you shouldn't. You shouldn't have any excuses. It's like I was born with this ability, and that's what I have, and something I had to work on, and something that I got maybe not 10% better, maybe like a percent or two better at every single year. But it's like you got to do it, and it's specificity of training, right? It's like 6 to 10 seconds of work, and that's all it is. Anybody can like I would tell the guys I coach, it's like anybody can do anything for one rep, right? You can do anything for one rep. And it's just like stack them.
Stack them.
I don't know.
Fuck, man. You're going to motivate me. But before we get back to Levi's journey into the running and the remote work, did you ever, when you were playing, did you ever, either of you, think that you'd be signing up for 10Ks? Half marathons? Did that ever cross your mind?
Levi did a half Ironman last year.
Nope.
I know.
No, I never thought I would. And that leads me back into my story. I remember my first 1 mile loop when we were living at the Streb house. I was running with Rachel. And I'm telling you, we ran from our Streb house 5 blocks, hit Stella, ran up the hill west of Stella. And I got to the top of that hill. My knees hurt. My mouth was drooling. I was bent over, sucking air. I'm like, there is no way in hell I'm going to become a runner. It was the most miserable thing. I was feeling so damn sorry for myself. And then weight started coming off. Kept running. I'm like, I'm going to figure this running thing out. I'm going to get in shape. Because I was like, I remember vividly watching YouTube videos, how to run long distances. Like, there's not very many YouTube videos explaining how to run long distances. But one thing that I remember, and I told Landon this when he started running, like a year after I did, is like, you don't need to run fast. Just start walking and pick up your pace until you're like running at the slowest pace that you can. And that's what I did for the longest time. And then just keep adding distances and adding distances and adding distances. And it's like, the one thing that I really like about running is the fact that I didn't have to like think about a regimented exercise body part. I could just go out, run for 45 minutes and then be done. I didn't have to think, okay, I'm going to do bench press. I'm going to warm up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to focus on my form. I thought that was exhausting. And running was just kind of like this getaway.
It's the easy button, right?
And it's pretty the easy button.
And pretty much anyone who without like, you know, a heart issue or bodily injury can turn into a long distance runner. Humans are designed to be long distance runners. So yep. Anyone can go and do that. And I mean, look at you as perfect example of being a guy who couldn't run half a mile, and now you're out there crushing Ironmans.
And losing weight is a huge part of that.
How hungry were you guys, dude? Be honest. When you're losing all that weight, how hungry were you?
Intermittent fasting helped a lot. And also, we figured out really early on, well, we've always been volume eaters. We want to eat everything, and we want to eat a lot of it. That gives us the feeling of
it's pleasure.
It's satiating, right? But the only way that you can do that is through whole foods and whole vegetables, right? Yep. So, I mean, you're pounding like pounds of carrots, pounds of, you can have the biggest salad that you want and you'll be good, right? But also,
hard to overeat calories when you're eating cucumbers.
Oh, 100%.
Exactly.
Now I can only imagine the side, like the plumbing probably took a hit.
and that's another thing. Like along the journey is like you just learn to like monitor your bowel, and you're just like, gosh, I eat like crap, and I can tell.
For sure.
Like,
yeah.
Vegetables and fiber, and it's like, oh, that was like, squatty potty all day long.
Crazy how things work, huh? Yeah.
Nice fresh shit in the morning. We like those.
We do like those.
Drake doesn't get many of those. Drake has like IBS and every other issue with his stomach and digestive system. Landon, you got into it a little later than Levi did. And he just mentioned it. It was like a year after. You guys do a lot of things together. You do the podcast together. You fucking live 40 yards from each other. You're in the fire department together. You work for the same company. All that you played for the Hawks together, but on this specific endeavor, he kind of got out ahead of you. Was he inspiration, a little motivation there? Can't let the other guy start, stacking days better than me, or what fired you up to get into it?
That's a good question. Levi's always been, historically, he's always been lighter than me. There was one time where I wrestled at a lighter weight than him in like fourth grade. It's like I weighed 144 and he weighed 148. And I was working at a job where I just
– in fourth grade, by the way, Drake was 135 pounds freshman.
I wasn't, though. I was 130 pounds as a quarterback my freshman year.
Hey, man. I walked into high school at a buck 30.
The Paulsons were 150 in fourth grade.
Fourth grade?
Oh, yeah. It couldn't have been – It might have been earlier than
that. Y'all would have scared me off the playground so quick.
Yeah, we wrestled 260 as eighth graders, and then we were 260, 280, 300, 320 our senior year.
Jesus Christ.
260 in eighth grade? That was two of me as a freshman.
Can you guys give a few quick stats, if you can remember, of like – how much like food you guys would go through at the house?
Oh, Mama Paulson had to be so sick of the grocery store and the dishwasher.
Guys,
how many eggs and how many gallons of milk?
Guys, you guys have not heard the milk story?
No.
Well, I've heard the Ward family milk story, and that's pretty impressive. So I'm looking forward to this one.
I'm gonna guess the Paulsons drank us under the rug. We were about, I think we're 7 or 8 gallons a week in the Ward family. When all my brothers were home.
Yeah. We were 17 gallons.
Y'all did not drink 17 gallons of milk a week.
Guys, my dad commuted 40 miles a day, and my mom commuted about 5 miles a day, and we calculated it out, and we spent more per year on milk than we did on fuel.
All right.
What? 17 gallons a week?
Have the one sister, right?
Two.
You have two sisters.
Our oldest sister is 6 years older than us, and our youngest sister is 6 years younger than us.
Okay. So each one of y'all is drinking damn near a gallon a day.
I know.
Levi and I would – I mean, we would drink – and I'm telling you, just ungodly amounts of milk. Like if and we don't drink it at all to this day. Like we do not buy milk.
Is that a preference, or are you just like you're milked out, or just like I don't know?
No, it's just like we don't have a need for it. Like
you guys needed a goddamn cow in the house.
It wouldn't have been able to produce enough.
It would have been. I don't know how much.
Is probably the biggest stat I know my mom would probably spend, I don't know if it was $600 a week or 600 every 2 weeks, but it was a lot. She would,
well, let's like, see. A gallon of milk was what, $3? 17 times 3, that's $50 a week times 4.2 weeks in a month. Yeah, that's, you know, it's a couple, that's a few hundred bucks a month on milk.
Oh yeah, but God. I'm saying grocery wise, like our mom would every week, $600. Gosh, it might have been every 2 weeks. And then just like shopping carts.
$600 back in 2006 went so far at the grocery store. Like when my dad used to spend $300, we would have multiple carts.
Yeah. Right.
Oh my God. That's the
man.
Oof. Milk was the biggest one. We drink a lot of milk.
Dad got 2 gallons of milk every day.
I was going to say, Papa Paulson probably was hammering milk too.
How do you feed? How would you feed a pair of Paulson twins today? Like, eggs cost $5 a dozen. Beef is insane.
The answer is they make their own food. You
really like have to hunt out of necessity.
The funny thing is we had a chicken coop fire down in Kelowna. This big chicken coop, they sell eggs to Hy-Vee.
Oh no!
We saved it. We had a really good save. I think only one or maybe two chickens died, but we saved it. But all the eggs,
were they cooked? And then did you guys eat those chickens on site? Or
the eggs just smelled like smoke, and so they put them through a washer, and they couldn't sell them, and so they offered them to the fire department first. And people are like, "Anybody want eggs and whatever?" And
how many eggs are we talking here?
This is 150 18 packs.
So what, like almost 3,000 eggs?
Oh, it was a lot. Like it was a lot of eggs. It was a crap ton. But he called our fire department, said, "I can't thank you guys enough. These are perfectly good eggs. They smell like smoke. We cannot sell them to the retail place. You know, wash them off, crack them, you know, and they're totally fine other than that." And they sent out a message to the fire department, said, "Anybody want them? Name how many dozen you want." And we took so many. Like, I'm telling you, it wasn't dozen, 18 packs. I think my wife and I, we took 24, 18 packs, 24, 26. And it was like, and then eggs start to be $6 or $7, $8 for a 12 pack. And everybody's like, you can't buy eggs. I'm like, well, you guys are all shitting on me for having all these eggs. And now I got eggs. And now everybody wants my eggs.
Yeah. You're going into the
12,000 eggs.
Landon turned into an egg wholesaler.
Other than that, I think our parents are, I mean, we grew up in a lower middle class family, so we didn't have all that much money. So I think a lot of the meals that we had were, I remember vividly having some sort of pasta every single week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least one time, chicken one time every week, some sort of ground product, burger or
spaghetti.
Yep, a lot of spaghetti.
You pork guys,
we ate good. I mean, we ate
potatoes
every night, put a lot of potatoes, but we ate normal. I mean, the milk was
so. Back to the milk. How many gallons of milk can a cow produce a day?
Oh my gosh. I have no idea.
G money's on it in the sidebar here.
Somebody's got to give me that information.
Probably not. I want to know how many cows day that y'all were drinking.
I want to know how many cows the Paulsons drank through.
Six gallons a day.
Really? Damn. All right, you guys could have used a cow.
One cow could have got the job done. Okay.
Him. Oh, that cracks me up.
Do you, for comparison, you said you're intermittent fasting, Levi. You guys played around with that. What's a day in the life diet-wise look like now for Landon or Levi Paulson? Other than, you know, you obviously talked about like the, you know, the romance of the meats that you cook, but like, you know, give me the rest of it.
Yeah, so we still work remote. So when we're working from home, this is what my day usually looks like. Wake up, make a pot of coffee, work out, I'll drink water,
diesel.
And Rachel will have one cup out of the pot of coffee, and I'll drink the rest of the pot. Usually eat around one
diesel in you.
100%.
Yes, sir.
And then 1:30 or 2 o'clock, I'll eat, and it's typically two pieces of toast, a can of tuna with an apple. I have sriracha and a little bit of light mayo in that, and I have like two pieces of toast and like tuna sandwich type deal. I have as many carrots or a salad or vegetables with hummus that I want, and typically a protein shake with a cup of fruit, a scoop of whey protein, and then maybe have some nuts or something in the afternoon. And then in the evening is when we typically feast on the game that we harvest.
And you're eating game like every night for dinner then, some form of it?
A lot of time, yeah.
And you're probably making that
the time.
So my calculation on that is your lunch, and I don't know if you guys calculate calories or you've just taken the intermittent fasting and that's kind of, but if counting calories there, your lunch is really only about 700 to 1,000 calories.
Yep. Correct. Right around 700.
Yeah. And then you guys probably eat what, 1,500 or so for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there might be a snack or something in there, just something light.
And you guys at Iowa were probably easily over 5,000 a day, probably closer to 6 or 7.
Oh my God. Oh, easy. Yeah.
I just think about how many calories we had before like 10 o'clock in the morning. It's just sickening to even think about.
You guys have
sickening to think we don't have access to those calories anymore.
So that's tough. That is tough.
I'm not going to lie. Every time I go back into the building, I sneak a little Core Power 42 back home.
Oh, fuck.
Only one? God. You paid your dues. We're still paying our dues.
Just one.
I'd go to the fucking players window and get me a duffel bag or one of laundry bags.
Dude, they gave me when I worked the special teams camp a couple years ago, they gave me like this little like gift bag of a t-shirt and a hat or whatever. I filled the gift bags with Fairlifes and walked out of that bitch.
Can I go on a tangent?
Please. Yeah.
Go on a tangent.
I was going to say back when we were talking about like growing up, like the meals that we ate.
Yeah.
We ate pork chops primarily, but then since we moved to Washington County, it's just like we had no idea how popular pork was. And Washington County is like the spot for hogs in the United States.
Number one in the state, number two in all of the U.S.
It's the real deal. And let me tell you, pork is so underrated.
We found that out after the last 6 weeks since we started working with the pork producers, boys.
Yeah, so they sent us some coupons for like $60 of pork, and I was like, it filled my freezer. Pork is awesome.
The $20 voucher.
A couple of the Washington County pork producers like couldn't believe that Levi and I had never in our lives ever had a pork burger. Ever.
Oh, they're so good.
So freaking good and so underrated. Right,
I've never had a pork burger, and now I'm really bummed. I need to go find me one ASAP.
If it's got the Paulson's endorsement, then
there has never been a better time in the world to eat pork than right now. Like our pork is at its best.
And dude, money goes so far when you're buying pork.
$3 a pound versus beef is like $8 these days, minimum.
And we started eating just straight up ground pork, and we've got some really nice, like Asian-inspired recipes that we do with that. And oh my gosh, it's so freaking good.
Oh, yeah, I don't know the truth. Something else that y'all could do on top of your cooking show, you could for sure be professional athletes chefs.
Mm-hmm.
The meals you guys cook, there's so many athletes that would look at that and be like, that is what belongs on my dinner plate. This is how I get gains. Like, I be my chef. I guarantee it.
Hey, one thing about the pork, though, I think a lot of people give it a bad rap because they overcook the shit out of it, and then it's like shoe leather, right? Mm. Same thing with your beef, right? If you're cooking a steak, just know what you're cooking it to. Can't overcook it.
Yeah.
And the other thing,
I'm always low and slow on the pork unless I'm doing a pork chop.
The other thing about cooking a pork chop, right, or a steak is you've got to take into account carryover heat, right? And carryover heat basically means if you take it off the grill and it says 135 or 140, you've got to expect that meat is going to rise in temperature another 5 to 10 degrees after that, just from the carryover heat, not even cooking.
Amen.
Right? So if you're going to eat a pork chop, I'd say pull it 5 to 7 degrees before you normally do in order to really really taste that meat and have it be a quality product.
Can you tell Landon's going to school for this?
Are you really?
Wait, for real?
Yeah, I'm taking some classes.
Okay. To be a chef, or what are we doing?
Nope, it's a artisanal butchery.
Artisanal
butchery. Dude, I'm telling you guys got a future in this shit. I knew it. I knew you had a future in it. Like, this is your shit.
So this is your shit.
I need to know what's the plan, Landon? What are we doing with this?
It's still up in the air. I mean, there's just such a need. There's such a need for butchers and meat cutters in America right now.
It's kind of gone away. It's kind of sad. Like, they're hard to find.
But yeah, but there's huge opportunity, right? Because they're so hard to find, and there's all these empty lockers and empty places. So we're kind of thinking about how we can innovate, right, and not just be a standard.
My brother, if the Paulson twins opened up a butchery down in Kelowna, I'd be down there every week. Coming in, asking what you guys got that came in fresh from the field or the forest or wherever the hell you just killed something.
The walk-ons will do a podcast from the freezer. I don't give a fuck.
What would it be, the bros in on it, or is it just your thing, Lando?
We haven't even nailed anything down. We're just kind of,
you're in the brainstorm phase.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's start mocking up blueprints. I might want to invest, Bubs.
Deadass.
The thing in America is it's so hard to beat the big plants. It's so hard to beat Tyson, right? And like the way that Levi and I think is like, we don't want to beat him. We don't even want to compete with him.
Yeah, be a separate field.
We want to be different. Yeah, exactly.
I'll pay a couple extra bucks a pound for a Landon Levi butchered
tomahawk
cow or deer or whatever.
Big Boys Butchery.
Big Boys Butchery, let's go.
That's really good stuff.
Let's
man.
Go.
You guys should also have an option for stuff like elk or other things that you can't find anywhere, right? Because Rogan's talking about elk on his podcast. Everybody's trying to find elk. Nobody can find elk. We have a market for that too.
Yeah.
You guys like to hunt them.
You guys are going to be loaded, rich.
You can contract Bo out in Denver, and he'll go shoot them for you. Ship it back to you. You guys can cut it out.
I've heard there's some pretty good elk in Arizona. You guys are always welcome to come down here.
Is it the Gala National?
We have Coco Nino. We have the Gila.
You guys could just hire Josie and Bo. Once Josie's retired from the NFL, and they could be the guys who bring your meat back to you. I mean, dude, I'm telling you, you guys are onto something, and I get it. It's just in the brainstorm phase, but this could be a hit.
But like you guys said, I think there's a growing trend of like a lot more people these days want to know where their food came from and want it more locally sourced. And so I think there's absolutely a place in the market for something like that.
And that's what Levi told me. Not that long ago, he's like, bro, we are passionate about it because we just like to connect people with the food that they eat.
Yeah.
It's like even sending Drake the bear grease was so like, that makes me so happy just to see people who enjoy that sort of thing. Because it's
What have you been doing with that? You've been like ripping that on your nuts or what?
Yeah, no, he jacks off with it.
We make biscuits and gravy with it. Sometimes when I make pancakes, I throw a little bear grease on there and fry the pancakes in it.
Oh.
I'll tell you what, a bear grease funnel cake is divine. Yeah, pretty much any meat that I want to throw a little bit of butter on the pan, I throw a little bit of bear grease on the pan.
All right.
Yeah, people that are curious about it, yeah, that's good to have a genuine curiosity about stuff.
I'm very curious about what the Big Boys Butchery is going to look like here.
I'm genuinely curious who's going to be the number one customer.
Well, what's the weirdest thing that you guys have eaten?
Weirdest thing I've ever eaten?
I don't. I've never had anything weird. Drake's answer is ass.
That's hard to top.
We're not talking about that. I haven't eaten anything. So I'm one of those guys that you were talking about earlier, boys. Give me mild, and just give me, you know, just I'm not
what do you think about like a breaded tenderloin sandwich?
I think that's basic, yeah.
Phenomenal.
Good. I like them. Yeah, but
delicious.
We could make you one, Kloof.
I want you to make me anything, bro.
Out of this turkey Levi just shot last year, we haven't made them for a while, but we make these breaded tenderloin, deep fry them. Oh my gosh!
I want to do is I want to sit down and I want to eat about 40 pork burgers with you guys. That's what I want to do.
Oh, me too. Undp.
Undp. Tell me more, a little bit more, because I want to get to the fire department stuff too, because that's recent. But finish out the story of you guys losing a bunch of weight and getting fit and getting into like fitness.
Good call. Thanks for keeping us on track.
That's what I'm here for.
This podcast has been phenomenal, first of all.
I think it's just a genuine curiosity for life. I mean, it really is. It's like you want to live a full life, you got to take care of your body first, right? And it's so hard for people to understand. Like, it's not just go work out and lose and then you lose the weight. No, it's a total mindset shift, right? It's a total lifestyle change, right? And once you really change your frame of mind that it's a lifestyle change, right, then it's like waking up and going to the gym every day is like zero problem, because it's just like part of what you do.
It becomes addicting. It's fun.
It's non-negotiable, but it's like you don't even think about it. You just go. You just go and you just do it. And my biggest thing for me, like overcoming that, was I always used to get caught up. Like I thought that I had to be in the gym or training for a certain amount of time. You don't. Like, you really don't. Like, go for 20 minutes and get your heart rate up and come back. And sometimes that's like keeps you coming back for more. You're like, oh, I just love the way that I felt, you know, breaking a sweat and getting my heart rate up super high. Right. And then you come back and you're like, oh, I can do a little bit more. But I think so many people just go jumping off a cliff when they really just need to take the first step right up the mountain. Like, it's like a tiny little step will take us way further than working out for 2 hours in one day and then getting burnt out on it in a week or two.
Slight edge, right, brother?
And yeah. And that was it for me, is like, I just realized like I'm driving my car to the gym, like waste of my time. Like, I can walk to the gym, enjoy the fresh air in the morning, work out for 20 minutes, walk back. That's a 40 minute workout. Like, hey, awesome. Right. And that was big for me. But the other thing just about your question, Kloof, is it's just continuing to learn, right? Yeah. And it's like, we don't have it all figured out. We really don't. We just try new stuff and see if it works. And for me, like, I listen to my body. Mm-hmm. It's like, if my hips are hurting, I ain't going to run.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe I need to sit on the foam roller. Right. Or maybe I need to just focus on resistance training. Right. Or do a quick circuit. Like, I totally listen to my body, break a good sweat, get the hell out of there. Don't waste time. Pickleball's awesome.
Hell yeah. I can see you guys. Pickleball's champs.
But then we live down in Amish country too. So, I mean, the running aspect of things, and like, I mean, we've started to figure out the routes that we can run in our small town that are like, get you outside of town. So like, we have a 2 mile loop, a 3 mile loop, a 4 mile loop, a 5 mile loop, and a 7 mile loop that we can run. Right. And it was kind of just out of the curiosity, like, oh, I wonder if I can run the two mile loop. I wonder if I can run the 3 mile loop. Right. And we just kept like expanding out and kind of building up our threshold for what we could do. And it's awesome. You run on a new gravel road every single day. You see nature. We're right in the English River bottom. So it's like, I think healthy for us to connect with nature, and then also to get sunlight, like Huberman says you're supposed to get.
Fuck yeah.
Like that. So,
and you guys have lost how much weight? What do you guys weigh?
I've lost 70 pounds.
So you're 250, 240?
A little over 250.
You guys are like 6'3", 6'4", right?
Yeah.
We're 6'4".
You look good for 250, man.
I'm 230.
You look more closer to 220. How good does it feel on your knees, dude? unreal, right?
Yeah, it feels good. I have to listen to my body because it's like
that. You guys, you guys put yourself through some shit carrying around 300 at, you know, for 4 or 5 years, 320.
Right. Yeah, and you don't really understand the wear and tear that it takes, all the change of direction and whatnot. But it's go ahead, bro.
I was just going to say it definitely, everybody's like, oh, was it worth it to, you know, beat your body up like that? Cause I mean, I had like 8 or 9 surgeries or whatever. I'm like, oh yeah, I'd go back and play Iowa football all over again if I could and beat my body up just the same, man. It's like me and Landon are not like super fighty type guys. Like, you don't want to just beat the shit out of somebody unless we really have to, but that's not the type of guys we are. But football, I mean, it was just like your free ticket to just F somebody up. I mean, every single play. I mean, it was just a license to kill every single play.
Well, and being a part of the Iowa program, probably for you guys, very similar to me, it wasn't just an eye-opening physically, but it was a complete and total restructuring of how you thought about mental toughness and grit and the ability to get through shit. And I'm sure that, you know, you're out there on a long run or you're doing a 10K or a half marathon and you hear Doyle in the back of your head. I do, at least. I still think about that shit. And I'm like, that's just who I am now, right?
It gives me the chills, Kloof, 100%. Yeah. It's like you just get addicted to, I don't know, putting yourself through like just the most grueling shit.
You're talking my language.
But it's like we signed up for that trail half marathon, and that was harder than I thought it was going to be. That was a beast.
No kidding, dude. It was a half marathon. Hey, newsflash, that's 13 miles.
But like the first half marathon I ran in Des Moines, I ran the IMT, and just an absolute cakewalk. Like it was like perfect weather, flat route, like awesome to have fans and whatnot. And then you go and you run in a forest and you're running over logs and rocks and tree stumps. And you just don't really understand like the toll that takes on your feet.
Mm.
Right. And it's like all my rest of my body was good except my feet. My feet were burning. And I just kept telling myself like, it's like, I am being so soft right now. Like, and then I just be like, I just got to keep going. I just got to keep taking one more step and one more step and one more step and one more step. And then soon enough, you come out of it, right? You come out of the pain cave, you push through and then it's like, my feet don't hurt anymore. What? Yeah. You know, and
guys, we haven't ran more than a half marathon and we got this guy at our gym. He's like this. I think is he Samoan, Landon, or is he Mexican? I can't remember, but he's like this big army looking guy. He's a guard at some prison and he's like this ultra runner, but he's like a beefy, stocky dude. And he's running these 100 mile races, 150 mile races. Like, I'm like, you just make me look like a Sally, bud. So I want to run an ultra just because that guy's got some grit.
Tell the story about him. When we got back from the half.
No, we got back from the half the next day. I came in for a workout or whatever, and I was on the stair climber, and I climb up on the stair climber right next to him. And I look over, and these stair climbers are like, I don't know, a foot and a half, maybe 2 feet apart. I look over, and I can see he's going on like minute number 50 of level 12 or whatever he was at. And I'm like, okay. He gets to an hour, and he gets off and I'm still walking or whatever. And then I finish my workout and he comes back over. He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm feeling like a real sissy. He says, I got to mile 78 of 150 and I gave up on myself. He's like, so now I'm in here working out what did he say? He's working out the lactic acid. He's like,
yeah, he said, I'm working out the lactic acid. I've already been
on for 2 hours and he was getting on for one more hour.
Oh my God.
Probably not.
It's like, I was feeling sorry for myself. I was feeling sorry for myself. And it's just like people like that. It's just like people have no idea what the body's capable of. You know, mm-hmm. It's not like we're trying to beat our bodies up, but it's just like, it's just a fun way to stay in it.
For sure. I mean, what's the saying, right? It's like your mind will want to quit, but your body literally is only halfway done.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's-
so you guys, to move it along again, what triggered the fire department? Why we signed to be volunteer firefighters? It doesn't. Well, it's more
badasses.
Well, it's rhetorical for me because I know why and I know these guys, but I want them to tell it in their own words.
Yeah, guy. Long story short, I'll kick this one off. Once we became friends with there was one acquaintance that we had in town, a guy that runs the sale barn in town, and his wife went to school with my girlfriend. And now we live in the same town together and we kind of became friends with them. Anyways, that was the only acquaintance we have. All of a sudden we're sitting in the back of Landon's yard one day. Landon had maybe just taken a job with Neat, and we're sitting around the bonfire about half drunk. And all of a sudden this little short, we're sitting around the bonfire and this short little stop. Well, we had a couple of beers in us. Like it was like 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. We're just ready to pack things up.
That's true.
And all of a sudden, into Landon's backyard, just unannounced, is this little short, bald-headed guy.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you. No. He was 50 years old, maybe. And, hey, I heard you guys are working remote. You got any interest joining the fire department? We're like, what in
this
the
is at 10 heck? O'clock at night?
I swear to God. Yeah. I'm like, what is going on? And no, this is the fire chief in town.
He said, you've been nominated to be on the Kelowna Volunteer Fire Department.
Yes.
I'm like, who are
I
you?
I have volunteered you.
Yes, that's what happened. We're like, what in the world? We're like, we've been nominated. Like, we got approached maybe like a month earlier. Like, hey, would you guys have any interest joining the fire department? We're like, yeah, we'd probably, you know, think about it or whatever. And that was it. It was like that brief, 10 seconds. All of a sudden, the fire chief's in our backyard a month later, and you've been nominated to join the fire department. We've got two open spots and we'd love to have you join. And we're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, he was pretty much like, sign your name here on the dotted line. We're like, if we're going to do something, we're going to like go all in. So like, we need to know like what the requirements are and if we're going to be able to make it. Like, I'm traveling on the road a lot. So if I'm going to be committed and be a part of a team, I want to be all in. I don't want to be kind of just like this flaky person that's not there that often. Like, oh, no. He's like, you guys planning on being here for a little bit? We're like, yeah. I said, for at least, you know, the next 5 years, probably longer. He's like, all right, great. He's like, well, I want to bring your wives in and I want to talk to them about, I want to talk to them with the captains about what it means to be a Kelowna volunteer firefighter. And we went in and I talked with Rachel a little bit and we became firefighters. And it was, it's been the most rewarding experience ever and the biggest adrenaline rush that I could have ever imagined. And guys, this is kind of a deep and graphic, like maybe it's just a little bit of a deep philosophy in my head on why I think I like it. And the reason I think I like it is because you deal with a lot of really tough situations, right? We're dealing with car wrecks where there's 12-year-olds and 16-year-olds trapped in the car with eyeballs hanging out, bloody faces, blood coming out of them, and you don't know if they're going to live, right? Because the fire department's job is to pry these guys out of this car that they're mangled in so that they can get on a helicopter, right? And it's like that experience. And then we had another experience where we pulled two dead victims out of a house and couldn't get them back to life, right? And kind of where I'm going here is Landon and I have had very, very straightforward lives, and we never really experienced death. And what I mean by that is I have a great grandmother that's still alive. All four of our grandparents are still alive. All of our close family members are still alive. Like, we've never really experienced death. I mean, we had a couple of semi-close friends in high school that passed away, but nothing like super close to us. So to like get close to death is kind of comforting because it helps us understand kind of where we're at with like our spiritual life, as messed up as that sounds, right? And even more so, there's like this, when you were a football player, there was a lot of like, rah rah, you're a football player, congratulations, or not congratulations, but you're so cool, let me take a picture with you. And it's like you're this praise is getting like pushed at you, right? And when you're a firefighter, that's not the way it is. There's this like unspoken praise. Like people know you're a firefighter and you're just respected because you dedicate your time and you go into these uncertain environments, you know, burning building. And you don't have to, right? It's completely volunteer. So it's been such an incredible experience, guys. And I'd highly recommend if you live in a small town, reach out to your volunteer fire department and see if they got any openings, because it is an unbelievable community. Unbelievable community. Sorry, that was deep.
No, that was freaking awesome, man.
I think that's a good point.
And the other thing that I'll say is
I've always wanted to serve like our country and our community. And it's just like this opportunity like presented itself to us and we're really extremely grateful for it. But it's just been very humbling. Like just to see the support from the community, and like we're a total volunteer to fire department. We do not have to respond if we don't want to or we're busy, right? We take pride in our department, right? And we take pride in the community that we live in, and the community supports us. Like we live in a town of 2,600 people, and we served 3,000 people at our pancake breakfast, and it's more than our small town, you know? And it's super humbling.
The other thing I would say is it was kind of like a godsend thing too, because we come directly out of college and go into this like remote workforce, right? And the previous 5 years and our whole life, right? It's like you're around 120 guys, you trust them, you see them every day, and you're part of that community. And I have your back, you have my back. And we know that there's that level of trust there. And every day when I walk into that door, I'm going to have that community around me, whether I'm down, whether I'm on cloud nine. And when we went into the remote workforce, it's like, dude, you sit in your freaking office at home all day with nothing but your thoughts and maybe the dog licking your leg. You know how like mentally like difficult that was? Like that was very, very difficult for me. It's like, what's my purpose? Mm-hmm. Where are my boys? Right? My boys are gone. I don't have anybody to like confide in or trust. I'm not part of like a team. So becoming a firefighter, has really given us that missing link, that team that we're looking for.
That's fucking awesome, guys. That's fucking awesome. We had Jack Campbell on, almost 2 months ago now, and
2 weeks ago,
whatever.
Jack Campbell wasn't 2 weeks ago. I was on vacation 2 weeks ago, you cunts.
Maybe.
Regardless, Jack Campbell is going to be the future governor of Iowa.
Yeah.
There is no doubt in my mind that the Paulson twins will either be co-mayors or mayors of separate town in their lives.
It's going to have to be co-mayor because they do everything together.
They do everything together. So they are going to be co-mayors of Kelowna, Iowa in their lifetime. And I have no doubt about it.
What I got out of that was, first of all, that was inspirational. Second of all, you guys are so much more selfless than I am. It is not even fucking close. Like talking about the dedication to your community, and I admire the shit out of you guys for that.
For real.
Personally, I checked and I think the Waukee Fire Department is full, but... You know, like, you guys are fucking rock star. You guys are so much better.
Feel like you get a better sense of community being in a small town than, like, say, your time in Iowa City? Or I guess that's probably the biggest place you guys have ever lived, right? It's like a better sense of, hey, this is our town. These are our neighbors. This is our community.
For sure.
100%, Kevin. I remember looking at houses with Rachel when I graduated, like, where are we gonna live? Because at this point in time, Landon bought a house in Kelowna. Like, well, Rachel's job and college is in Iowa City, so I had a panic attack. I'm like, I am so nervous that I'm not going to fit in with. Who am I going to fit in with? Who is going to be my crew in Kelowna? Yeah. It's been
since we moved
blessed in, with a great community.
Since we moved in, day one, we moved in. I moved in April 6th. I moved in this house April 6th, 2020. And within the first 2 months, we had random people, like people we never met. They knew we moved into town, bringing us baked goods. I would come home from work and there'd be two pans of homemade cinnamon rolls on my washer and dryer. Like people would just walk into my house and say, thank you. You know what? I just like, this is interesting. Like it almost feels weird, but it's like people are so genuine and so nice. And it's really nice for us just to not be from here. Right. And not to know anybody and not to know any small town drama because we really don't care. And in my opinion, like if you want to have cool stuff in your small town, you've got to do cool stuff. And this community does cool stuff, right? And people invest in the community, which is that's something that I'm passionate about, right? Is like invest in the community and that community will invest back into you. And I feel like it's hard to do that in a big city and it's hard right. to feel connected.
I feel like if you're lucky, you might get that in your neighborhood. If you're
right,
like yeah. I have a couple awesome neighbors that I love talking to and hanging out with every now and then, but it's the people on the left of me and the people on the right of me. All right. and that's pretty much it. Right. You know, there'd be other more like involved neighborhoods where like the kids all play together and stuff. That's how my neighborhood was growing up. It's like all the kids play together. But there's no sense of community outside the neighborhood, right? It was like, this is our neighborhood, but
right
in the city, but we have no sense of, I don't know. There's like not a whole lot of sense of belonging to the city, right?
Dude, I've lived in the row of townhouses now. It'll be 5 years in a week. I don't know a single neighbor.
Stop it.
Really? That's how much I talk to people. Now, that's my fault. That's just Tyler Kluver. But the guy next to me across the gap here, he smokes cigarettes, so I don't talk to him. I ain't fucking talking to the guy. Right? You smoke cigarettes? We're not associating in real life. Okay? We actually did become friends with our just like 5 year older neighbors right next to us, and then they had a kid and moved. And now the lady who moved in, I lied. I know one neighbor. Her name is Jamie. She has a middle schooler. She's a plumber, single mom. She fixed our sink and we're cool. But that's the only fucking neighbor I know. And I've been here for 5 years.
This is the Friendship Pod. We're here to build.
You guys are. You guys really should run the Friendship Podcast.
And maybe this is like a call out to all the listeners out there. If you don't,
that was actually my next question for you guys. I know this isn't my podcast, but
yes, please. No, dude, this is your podcast. Yes, this is your podcast. Please start the Paulson Bros podcast and talk all things firefighting, hunting, cooking.
I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
What can the Walk On Army and what can the Friendship Pod listeners do to support you guys?
Man, they already do so much for us.
They pay Kluver's mortgage.
I mean,
there's nothing that the listeners can do to support you guys more than they do now.
I mean, diapers are expensive.
Yeah, what they can do is support the bros that we bring on.
Anybody who listens, the best way to support, and this is, I didn't, this we're 100, we're an hour and 28 minutes into this. Landon interjected this. The best way to support us, the podcast, if you have any sort of enjoyment from our show, is to buy merch that we put out or sign up for the Patreon, which is really, really, if you think about it, not that big of a cost. It's $4, $8, or $12 a month. The perks absolutely pay for themselves, especially if you're buying merchandise. It literally will pay for itself. Half of it goes to the kids at the hospital.
I don't know if you guys knew that. This is probably something that you two would appreciate. So we've been able to raise a pretty good chunk of money and went straight to the children's hospital for presents and things that they needed. So
yeah, we're just short of 50,000 a lifetime.
I love that, man.
That is unreal.
Also, to Drake's point, man, is like when we have cool people like yourselves on here, and when Big Boys Butchers becomes a real thing, like if you're an awesome fan, you want to support the walk-ons, go support the awesome people that we bring on the show. Go buy some Grazed Cake takeout next time you're in Iowa City.
Yeah. Is this Kelowna chocolate milk from Kelowna?
That is.
Bro.
Okay, so that's the best chocolate milk to ever exist, fellas.
On Earth. On Earth.
There's never been a better chocolate milk than Kelowna chocolate milk. That's, y'all can drink that every day if you want.
Kelowna Supernatural is
It's actually supernatural.
Boys, I used to use my entire $20 at Bread Garden, and I would just buy $20 of Kelowna chocolate milk.
It tasted like chocolate ice cream.
Kelowna Supernatural is in 49 states, and
Arizona is the one it's not in.
It's owned by a company called Open Gates Group, and they have 12 companies under their umbrella. And basically what they did in early 2000s was they bought a creamery, right? Oh. And they were trying to beat...
Now you're speaking Kevin's language.
They were trying to beat the big creamery. And the way to do this was to own and start all of these niche businesses, right? And market it such that it's from Kelowna and it's Amish organic milk, right? Cream top milk. And they're doing really well, and we're really lucky to have them in our town. Really,
dude, really. You can take that chocolate milk out of the refrigerator, put it in the freezer, and then a couple hours later, grab a spoon. You got yourself a chocolate sundae,
dude. Mm. Talk about cream top.
Last week with the whole milk, I made homemade biscuits and gravy, B&G. Oh, you know what I was thinking when I was making it? I was making it really early in the morning because we have a men's group every third Wednesday. Our community puts one on. It's a potluck for only men. And so I woke up at 3:45 and I was making homemade B&G. And I was thinking, Coach Doyle told me a quote one time. He said, I've never had a piece of pie that I didn't like. Because I was making fun of him at dinner. I'm like, oh, you really need that apple pie or whatever? He said, you know what, man? I really have this pie I didn't like. I said, oh, more power to you. Like, you go for it. But I was thinking, I think, like, biscuits and gravy should be in the pie category.
Oh, my God.
Like, I think it is definitely, like, it's a pie.
You're saying biscuits and gravy is a pie?
Oh, yeah. B&G is in the pie category. There's just, like, oh, there's nothing like it.
All right, let me see if you guys have used this technique on your biscuits and gravy or not. You get a pound of Jimmy Dean spicy sausage and add it to whatever the sausage you're using. I'm sure you guys probably use sausage from every animal out there.
I use bear shit.
But for real, throw a little bit of Jimmy Dean spicy in there. Will blow your brains out.
Drake, I love Jimmy Dean's. And I love spicy, but you got to try some of our chorizo and biscuits and gravy.
Well, of course I do, buddy, but I've only got access to Jimmy Dean.
Yeah, Drake, you're fucking talking to Jimmy Dean.
You got bear sausage?
Breakfast sausage.
Oh.
Yeah, it's – what did we make that out of? That was venison, I think, that we made the breakfast sausage out of. Yeah, that's fire. We get the red pepper in there, so it's spicy.
I could fucking talk to you guys for the next, I think, 10 hours.
Fellas, please make a podcast, man. I think that's the first step. A YouTube channel, a podcast. You guys have way, way, way cooler shit to talk about than we do. We have a podcast and we say stupid shit on here because that's all we have to say. You guys have stuff that people want to hear, dude. Please. You got to. The Pulse and Pod has to happen.
Listen, just the stories that you guys have. I mean, the fucking guy coming out of the backyard at 10 p.m. to bring you into the fire department. And now you're waking up at 3:45 to make biscuits and gravy.
You already have segments that you can do. Firefighting segment, hunting segment, butchering segment, cooking segment. I mean.
That's – you guys – I have nothing to say. You're fucking legends.
We don't try to be. People connect with people, right? And people who are real. And we just We're ourselves. We don't have
the best part about y'all.
We don't have to be people that we're not, because we like to have a good time. We like living life.
I think people are going to like listening to this episode. I know that.
Yeah, especially the Washington County pork producers.
They owe us extra for this episode, man.
Shout out to them, huh?
Shout out to them, but they owe us extra for this one.
So it turns out Kaylee's listening right now, because she just texted me, quit giving away my biscuit and gravy secrets.
Funny. Well, what she doesn't know is we're talking to Jimmy and Dean right here. Fucking unbelievable.
Guys, if you are ever in Kelowna, hit us up. Seriously.
We'll
treat you guys to dinner or something.
I am definitely going to take you up on that offer, my friend. I'll buy the Kelowna Brewing Company beers, and I'll be on over.
Thank you guys for coming on here.
You betcha.
Fucking thanks for having us, guys. No, you guys are really doing some great things.
We aren't doing shit. You guys are way cooler than us.
Guys, we got people that talk about it and absolutely love the show. Love it.
Guess what? Now they're going to lose their cool, because that was 95 minutes of gold.
Washington County, you can send the check to Kelowna. Everybody, thanks for listening to the show. I believe this is actually episode 416, and we are not going to go 350 more episodes without having these guys on again. We will have them on before that. So,
well, we're going to have them on pretty soon again to promote their new podcast,
to their
butcher shop,
yeah, everything,
their hunting vlog. I mean,
until next time,
crawfish boil this weekend.
Oh shit!
Shit, right. Sorry.
See you later, boys. Peace.
See you guys.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.